We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Mountain West Insider Podcast here on the Field of 68 Media Network. My name is Rob Doster. I have Jeff Goodman here with me, and we are going to be joined in just a minute by Great Osabor, the star big man for the Utah State Aggies, who improved to 14-1 on the season and 2-0 in the Mountain West after beating Colorado State, the number 13 team in America, on Saturday evening. Great is averaging 18.5 points, 9.5 boards, 2.7 assists, and in two games in the Mountain West, Goodman, 26 points, 11.5 rebounds, 3.5 assists. That's not a bad start to the season.
You know what he's been, Rob?
Really good?
No, he's been great.
Oh, he's been great? Okay.
Yeah,
so it makes sense.
Great. I know. It's too easy. It's too easy to have fun with the name, and I can't wait to talk to him so we can kind of find out, you know, a little bit of the jokes that have been maybe thrown at him over the course of his life. And I mean, listen, the one thing I know is, thank goodness your parents didn't name you Great, because it would have been so off base from everything that you are.
Yeah, well, your parents named you Goodman, which is the wrong way to kind of phrase that, but I'm sure you've heard plenty of that before. All right, let's just kind of jump around the Mountain West here for a little bit. So right now, there are two teams at the top of the league that are both undefeated and 2-0. That is Utah State and San Diego State. We have a big game on Saturday of next weekend. San Diego State is heading to the Pit to take on New Mexico in what could be a matchup between two teams that make the NCAA tournament, man. We talked about it a lot last week. We've talked about it at length throughout the season, but the top of this conference is just so good.
Yeah. Yeah, so good. I mean, you look at it, and in the net, right now, which is very important, they have all their top five teams right now in the top 35 as we're recording this. Okay, and Boise, they got some work to do here. But the good thing for Boise is you got five teams now that if you beat them and you move up in the league and you finish in the top three or four in the league, you're going to probably get in the NCAA tournament, because there are a lot of resume wins because of what Colorado State and San Diego State and Utah State just did. Obviously, that was a huge win. And we'll talk to Great about that. Against Colorado State, a team that, again, is in the top 25 and has been here for the last month or so. And I think New Mexico is going to have a chance here. Like, I really do, because they haven't been healthy. It's going to take some time for those three guys to kind of play together because they've all been out at, you know, different times. So, you know, between Denton, Mashburn, and House, if Richard Pitino can get those guys healthy, they're going to get better and better as the season goes on here.
Yeah, you mentioned Boise State. I think it's important to note they have a big, big week coming up. They get Colorado State at home on Tuesday, fresh off of the loss at Utah State. Then they head on the road to take on Nevada, who is 14-1 and 1-0 in the Mountain West as we currently speak. So there's no easy part of this schedule. I think that's kind of, it's epitomized by what we see with Colorado State and what we're seeing with Boise State here. It's just, this is a buzzsaw of a conference, and you better be ready for it, because it's going to be like that every night that you go on the road.
I just think it's more interesting too than a lot of other leagues, right? Like you look at the Big Ten, you're like, all right, Purdue. We know they're going to win the league. Pac-12, we pretty much have Arizona. They're the clear-cut favorite right now. ACC's got a couple, and SEC is certainly, you know, fairly wide open. But this league is just like, I don't know what's going to happen. And that's the beauty of it. You've got good games every night because, again, right now you've got six teams that are all in the equation for the NCAA tournament right now. And there's not a ton of disparity from one to six.
Yeah, I equate it to the Big East, right? Like, I think that if you look at what's happening in the SEC, Kentucky and Tennessee have kind of separated themselves. You look at the Big 12, Kansas and Houston have kind of separated themselves. The Big East, there's a few more questions, right? Like, UConn's banged up. They might be the best team, but we don't really know. Seton Hall's in first place, but it's Seton Hall. Are we going to buy in on that? Marquette's lost a couple of games that they probably didn't necessarily need to lose or shouldn't have lost. So it's the same kind of thing where you have five or six teams at the top that are going to be competing for it, and what feels like all year long. And I think that's what we're getting in the Mountain West as well. If I was to sit here and tell you that Boise State with Rice and with Degenhart and with some of the talent they have on that roster, if they were to go out and win 15 games and win the Mountain West regular season title, you wouldn't say that was crazy, right? You wouldn't be
No,
like,
probably not.
that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. It's certainly possible, and they're probably the sixth best team in this league. Think about that.
Here's what I'll say too, and you know me about point guard play. It's super important, right? You look down the list of the top for all these teams, really for all these teams that are at the top, and Isaiah Stevens, we know how good he is, right? Darius Brown, you know, one of the top point guards in the country in terms of just making people better. Obviously, you know, Donovan Dent's been terrific when he's been healthy this year. Blackshear has been really good at Nevada. You know, Lamont Butler at San Diego. Like they have really good, solid point guard play, and I think that's a differentiator.
Yeah, Rhys Dixon-Waters and Darian Chamel. It's less the superstar at San Diego State and more like you have a bunch of really, really good guards on the team. But yes, your point is taken. I'm glad that we are doing this podcast this year because it is going to be it's going to be a fun race, man. And I don't know what you had for your top 25 today, but I still have Colorado State in my top 25. I have San Diego State in my top 25 now. I have Utah State in my top 25 now. And I can see a scenario where eventually I end up putting New Mexico in it as well if they win on Saturday at home against San Diego State. So that's how good this league is at the top. Four, five, six teams. I think with that's very realistic possibility for who can get into the NCAA tournament this year from this group. But listen, that's enough of us talking, man. I know what you guys want to hear. You want to hear from Gray Osabor. You want to hear from the star of the Utah State Aggies. You want to hear from a guy who has put himself in the conversation with a stud like Isaiah Stevens and a stud like Jaden Ledee in the Mountain West Player of the Year race. Gray Osabor, Utah State.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And now let me welcome on to the Mountain West Insider Podcast, Gray Osabor of the Utah State Aggies, coming off of a week where he averaged 26 points, 11.5 boards, 3.5 assists, won two games and beat number 13 Colorado State. Great. How are you gonna follow this up, man? Like that's a high bar to set in your first week in the Mountain West.
Oh no, man. I'll take every game at a time. Coach Spring doesn't let us get too ahead of ourselves. We have Wyoming next, so just getting ready for that. Trying to win that game, try to play good. We'll be all right.
So what has this year been like for you? Because obviously you came over with Coach Sprinkle from Montana State. You were a good piece last year, but like, it's not like you were their best player, and you go up a level here, maybe even two, and you are dominating. Like, production wise, I'll put your production against just about anybody in the country this year. What has this been like for you? Why have you been able to adjust as easily as you have?
Man, that's a good question. I'm a pretty confident player, you know. I like to think I can play with anyone. So, but I also know the value of buying into your role. And I was at Montana State, and we wanted to win. Montana State was a great program. Had a great big man in Jabril Bello. I learned a lot behind him. We had Raekwon Battle, who was there to score the ball. We were a really good team, you know. So my job was to come in, help JB out, play with JB, and do what I had to do. But I knew that eventually my time would have to come. So I learned what I could from JB and added my own twist to it. And thank God it's working out a little bit right now.
Take me through the decision-making process when you decided to leave Montana State to follow Coach Sprinkle to Utah State. Was that kind of a given for you? Was that something that you were always going to do if he left?
I heard he was mad, Rob. Yeah. I heard he was really mad when Sprinkle left. Rumors said, right? Am I wrong?
You know, how'd you know that?
I know.
That's funny. Nah, I was so mad. It's crazy. I don't think guys would, I don't know why either. Well, I love them Bozeman. Like, Bozeman's a great place. Montana State, the community is amazing. The people there are awesome. And I was comfortable, you know. And I was there, and you know, Spring comes in and tells us he's leaving. I was livid. And I'm like, no, I'm staying, it's done, whatever. But then once I calmed down a little bit, my parents were like, okay, now let's think this through a little bit. Like, Coach Sprinkle has been good to you. He knows you. He's the one that recruited you out of high school. They know what you're about, and you have a chance to go do something in a good conference. So think this through. And then obviously now being logical, I thought everything through, and I was like, the best thing for my basketball career was really to go to Utah State. And to leave a situation like Montana State, which was amazing, I had to go to an even better situation. And I feel like I've got that here, you know.
So you are a native, not a native, but you went to high school in England, essentially. And yeah. I think you moved there when you were 12, if I'm not mistaken. Talk Correct. To me about that recruiting process a little bit, because I don't think when people think about European basketball, I'm not sure that England is the first place that we think about when it comes to where the best players are coming from.
No, they don't. But we have some hoopers, not going to lie. I was born in Spain, and then I moved to England. And then when I was in England, I played for a team called Bradford Dragons. Mm-hmm. And we had a couple of D1 players. We had Zion Tardoff, Matte Okros. They played at the academy. And then I went to my school college, and I was there for 2 years. And that's where I thought I got really good, because we had high-level competition. We had guys who were playing professional now. Me and Amari Williams were there together. That was a really good team. So you learned a lot from players like that, and the competition was there every day. But then my first year there, Coach Haslam, he came down. Like, he does recruiting trips over the season. He came to my school and watched me. And it was like, okay, he's like 6'4", but he's got some skills. We're going to keep tracking him, but because I was 6'4 at the time. I was like, okay. And then the last year at my school, I kind of turned, like, I was like 6'7", 230 or whatever. And it was like, okay, we need to get him. And then obviously they were the first school that ever contacted me. And I was getting a bunch of other schools calling at that point, but it just made sense, you know. Like, they were like, if you come, you can play as a freshman. And knowing coming from Europe, you know that doesn't happen a lot. Like, you get to play straight away. That's big time. So I was like, okay, I want to play. I just want to play. So I went to Montana State, and it worked out well.
What was your first reaction when you get off the plane and you're in Bozeman and you see the mountains and you see the scenery and you see how beautiful it is out there?
Honestly, I remember it vividly, because I'd been traveling for about 16 hours and I was so tired. I was like, okay. I didn't even really analyze everything until like a week later, because I was jet lagged. I was ready. I was excited. I was full of emotions, you know?
All right. So here's a big question. What is it like growing up with a first name of great? Because, like, I can only imagine. Well, I mean, again, when you get old enough to understand how unique of a name it is,
yeah.
First few years, you don't know. And then you get old enough. Are, like, kids making fun of you early? Are they, like, how do you deal with it? Now you're great. So, like, yeah. it fits you.
Now, my whole life. So you're right. I've never really thought about it that way. Like when you're young, I didn't really think about it too tough. But then as I started getting older, I'm hearing all the great jokes, all the amazing, all the good jokes. I'm like, okay, whatever. But I feel like I just got used to it, you know? Like you can get mad at it or whatever, but I didn't really look at it that way. I just accepted it. It's been good to me.
You got to have the personality to be able to pull that off too, I bet. Like, absolutely. Honestly, my guess is that makes you more outgoing in a way because you have to deal with it and learn how to go with it.
People, yeah. You can't let it get to you. If I let it get to me, I would have been cooked.
Right.
Yeah, well, I'm good.
How difficult was the transition when you were coming from England and then moving and playing in Montana? Did it help that you had made a transition like that before? Obviously, you said you lived in Spain before you moved to England.
So I always tell people basketball is a universal language, you know. So I came here and I got here, and the biggest thing was, okay, you're not the best player no more. Like, you're not the best player no more. So how can you match up with that? And it was just like, play super hard. And most freshmen will tell you, like, the game is so fast, and especially the American game, the game was so fast. And that's what I struggled with. I needed to slow down, you know. But it's fun. You get to see all the high-level basketball. Like, you get to see people that do things. Like, I remember my freshman year, it was the first time I seen someone with, like, the level of athleticism of Raekwon Battle. Like, it's crazy. He gets up, it's 6:30 in the morning, he's dunking between the legs. Like, there's people like that in this country. And it was an interesting jump to see things like that. Wow, I love it.
All right, so you guys are probably as big of a surprise as maybe any team in the country this year. Sure. Nobody saw this coming. I mean, I'm not even sure you saw this coming, if you're being completely honest, because you didn't know what to expect with a completely different team, even though you followed your coach. What's this been like for you, and why? Why do you think you guys have gotten off to the start you have, with the last game being a huge one, a win against Colorado State?
It's been fun. I won't say you're lying. In the summer, we was like, okay. But I feel like it's all part of Coach Sprinkle's coaching style, you know? Like, he coaches us really hard. Like, we get here in the summer, all we do is play defense. So it gets to the point where I'd say we're good defensively, but then it makes us question our offense, because we're like, are we this good defensively, or what is the problem? But now, I feel like the biggest thing was everybody bought in. Like, everyone's bought in. I feel like when you have 13 new players, people might have egos like, okay, this is my time to, like, okay, go off. Like, I have an opportunity to go crazy because there's no role set. But I feel like from the jump, everyone just bought in what we needed to do to win. Like, if you have to defend, you have to guard, you have to rebound, you do your job and we'll be all right.
So Sprink told us, I asked him for some questions on you. We've been looking for some dirt. Great. Okay. And he says that you remember everything that he says, whether it's in film, whether it's in games, whether it's in timeouts. He says that you'll watch some of the tape and you'll listen to the audio from the video, that the mic that's right next to the court, and hit him on it. What's the most ridiculous thing or the funniest thing you've heard him say that you've hit him on?
See, that's hard, because he's not wrong. Like, my teammates, DB, says I'm crazy because I do this. Like, I don't forget stuff. Oh, no. It's just him. The way he yells my name, I'd have to say that. It's the way he yells my name. Like, I'll go watch it something back, and he'll yell my name like I just committed murder or something. And then you go watch the film, and I maybe turned the ball over. I wasn't ducking in or something. I think that's the funniest thing for me. It's all the right. Tone which does it.
So this is the serious one. I need you to be honest on this. My sources are saying that at one point last season, you slipped in the snow and you rolled your ankle before playing against your rivals, Montana, but that you wouldn't tell the coaching staff and that none of your teammates ratted you out to the coaching staff. Did you actually slip and fall and roll your ankle? Is this a true story?
Allegedly. Allegedly, that did happen, but we played good. We won that game, so doesn't need to be spoken about too much.
What was your stat line in that game?
Against Montana?
Yeah.
That was at home, I'm pretty sure. I want to say 14-6.
Yeah, not bad. On a rolled ankle. Mm-hmm. Not bad at all.
Hey, describe the home court experience at Utah State.
In the Spectrum?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's not many like it. It's not many.
Why? Why? Like, describe it to somebody. What's going on there? And if sometimes you catch yourself even looking at the crowd during timeouts or waiting on the bench.
All the time. Okay, so I'm going to describe it to you like you've never heard of. Like, these people, I don't think they have nothing else to do apart from support the community, support the athletics. So they come in and they have this whole pent up energy that they've been saving for the week. And the whole purpose is to let the energy out and making noise and giving us energy in the basketball court. And it's amazing. I love it. Like, you can feel the energy just coming in. We talk about all the energy and support. And you feel all the energy and support, you know?
I tell Goodman this all the time. I'm a big football. Your football, not American football, British football. Okay. You can see right there.
My football.
Yeah, come on, you Spurs. Yeah. I told him that the only thing that comes close to the college basketball atmosphere is European soccer, Premier League soccer. And I mean, obviously, you probably know that better than Goodman does, better than I do. Can you compare those? Did you go to any football matches when you were in England?
Yeah, no, I went to quite a bit when I was in Spain. I'm a Real Madrid fan. So when Real Madrid would come play our team up north, I'd go to all the games. And it's pretty similar because they're both crazy, like all game long. You won't hear no silence. All you hear is constant noise, people just causing a ruckus, you know. And I love it. It's fun. I love the chaos of it.
Hey, why did you go – so Spain to England – how did that happen? Why did you guys move?
My dad got a good job opportunity in England. You know, good job opportunities were hard a little bit in Spain at the time, and he found a good job in England.
Listen, I'll say this: I'm glad we talked to you. You are super fun to watch, and probably more fun to talk to even. And sure. Listen, it's great seeing stories like this. You know, coming from again. Montana, well, you guys had a lot of success, but you waited your turn and have honestly shocked a lot of people, probably even yourself included a little bit, I assume, with the number.
No, he said no. He said no.
Not at all.
Goodman, his name is great. What do you think? His expectations got to be through the roof, man.
His numbers are insane, though. I mean, what you've done this year is incredible. You just don't see this happen very often in college basketball. Somebody who transfers up and doubles their production. Like, it doesn't happen great. So I just want you to understand, like, what you're doing is special, but here's what I'll say. It's special because you're winning. Yeah, that's why it's special.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Exactly. I feel like anyone can, not anyone, obviously you gotta be good to put up numbers, but it's easier to put up numbers and be content with not winning. Like, yes. The fact that I'm getting a bit of recognition right now, it's really all due to the fact that we're winning. And it's big credit to the team. Like, I want to give my team a shout for that. Like, it's not just me. This is everyone right now.
All right, you got last one before you go. You got a point guard that you played with last year that I believe either is your roommate or was your roommate in Davis. Give us some dirt on him a little bit as a roommate. As a roommate, what's he like?
DB is actually a good roommate. I can't even give there on DB. That's a bad question. You should find someone.
Does he do the dishes? Who does the dishes? Who cleans up? And who's an absolute pick?
Of my two roommates?
Yeah.
I do most of my dishes. If I put something down, I'm going to clean it. But my problem is if someone puts something down and it's on mine, I'll just leave it there for as long as it takes. I'm struggling with it. I'll just leave it there. And then that becomes a problem. And DB's pretty good at taking this mess up. But when if Max leaves his dishes, Max is going to be the same way. So sometimes we might have a little bit of a mess, but we've been good for a while.
All right, great. We'll end it with this. You grew up in Spain. You're a Real Madrid fan, so I need some help. I'm hoping you can translate something for me. Mi amigo Jeff aquí es tan inteligente como un pomo de la puerta. What does that mean?
What the hell? What's that?
My friend Jeff here is as smart as a doorknob.
Is this what? Wait, what did he say?
My friend Jeff here is as smart as a doorknob.
There you go. Exactly. 100% true. Great, Osmore. Utah State Aggies, appreciate you being here, man.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you having me, man.
Thanks, man.